We're going now going to have our reading, and Sarah, it was a last minute ask, but Sarah is going to come and read Psalm 119, verses, not the whole psalm. Please read verses 1 to 16, Sarah, will you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Amen. Thank you, David. Just give thanks for... I want to chat about the Gideon. Myself and Chris belonged to Gideon's International for almost more years than I care to remember now. And 15 years? No, 20 years. We've been Gideon's for... Oh, grief, that makes me feel old. We've been Gideon's for 20 years. We joined when we were living up in Dorset, and we've continued and belong to you're part of the Taunton branch now. And... Have been involved all that time. And if you look at the... if you ever have a headed letter come from the Gideons, Psalm 119, verse 105, is quoted there. Your lamp, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And the Message puts it like this. By your words I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on my path. Just an example of how we need artificial light, how we need the electricity that we enjoy here this morning. Come with me to an evening. You've sat and you are sat at about, we'll say, 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock. You're having your evening cup of coffee, cup of tea, cup of Horlicks, cup of whatever, or maybe something else, that's entirely up to you. And suddenly the lights go out. Perhaps there's a thunderstorm around, there's been a power cut. It is a sort of a dark night. You know, we're in a newish house and we've got the jolly trip system in there that one bulb blows in our chandelier and out go the lights. What happens? The first thing you want to do is you want to go and find some other light. Perhaps to see if there is a fuse gone or if the trip is gone or if there's a power cut, well, you've just got to wait. So what do? You're sat there, the cup of coffee or cup of tea is on the coffee table. You jump up quickly because you want to go and sort it out. First thing you do is you knock your shin in the corner of the coffee table. Whatever you're drinking goes over and is spilt. You probably say something. Someone said to me once that you wouldn't say in church. So you've knocked your leg. Well, we've got a dog, and if anything goes wrong, I get the cramp, something awful these days. And sometimes I say, oh, Chris, I've got the cramp. And the dog goes and cuddles up to Chris because she's afraid that I'm shouting at her. That's a fact, isn't it? She's very nervous. I don't know why she's nervous of me. But so you do that, so that the coffee's over, you frighten the dog, you frighten the cat, so you get up and walk away, and you hit your foot in the leg of the table, coffee table. You see, your wife has moved the coffee table because it wasn't quite in the right place. Women are like that, aren't they, you know, men? They move things because they don't look quite. Bill, you're tapping is absolutely okay. Chris is not like that, I hasten to add. I'm sorry about that part. I'm sorry. Yes. But you see, and that happened. That happened. So by this time, you've knocked your shin and you've probably tripped over. The dogs and cat have gone off here. So you think to yourself, we've got a torch. Yeah, okay. Where's the torch? You see, it's the end of the summer. You haven't used it for a while. Then you remember you put it under the sink unit in the kitchen when you were clearing the block drain that was under there. So you find your way into the kitchen, you open the cupboard, you get out the saucepans that are in the way, and you find the torch. You go to switch it on. You discover that you had left it switched on. So therefore the battery is flat. You think to yourself, yeah, we've got some candles. Fine, candles, yes, okay. Got those, know where they are. Matches. Well, we had a barbecue. And we lit the barbecue with the matches and the You see, we need, what I'm saying is, when we haven't got that artificial light, we are liable to fall, to stumble, to trip over, to hurt ourselves, to do ourselves physical damage. But we have God's word, the light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We've just sung it and that was great. And we have got God's word to guide us, to help us, that added dimension, that sat-nav for our lives. That sometimes tells us to turn around and go in a different direction. That sometimes tells us that what we are doing, that we are actually going the wrong way. But we have that as Christians. And you know, we believe, don't we, as Christians, that God's word is our guide. Do we? Or do we? Yes, we do. It is our guide to help us in our Christian, on our Christian journey, of which each one of us here is at a different place this morning. But we have God's word. And you know, we could only go a few meters outside this church this morning where we would find people who need the light of God's word, wouldn't we? We needn't go very far. If we stood outside the door, I guess within 2 or 3 minutes, somebody would pass, and they need the light of God's word. Jesus said, I am, in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. What a positive statement that was. I thought about it the other day, and I thought that was almost an arrogant statement. I am the light, you know, you can imagine me saying it. Thinking, well, he's arrogant, isn't he? But Christ was saying, I am the light of the world, and I guess he said it in the completely the right way. I am the light of the world. What he didn't say was, I am a light amongst others. I am me. I am the light of the world. He also said, and we've sung this morning as well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. Not if you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of the other. No, I am the way. I am the truth. In me you can find eternal life. Scripture also tells us salvation, forgiveness for our sins can be found in no other way except believing in Jesus. And many today, aren't they, are looking for the answer to life. They have a spiritual void in their lives that they want to fill. And they're looking in all sorts of places, and unfortunately looking in the wrong places. But as Christians, we have the words of life. We have the words of life in God's word here. We have the words of life before us. Do we actually treasure our Bibles enough? Do we actually treasure our Bibles enough? Do we actually read them enough? I'm asking that question to myself. And the answer for me is no, I don't. And when things happen and things go wrong, is it because we haven't been close enough to God and His Word? I'll leave that question with you. But we've belonged to the Gideons for quite a while. And as Gideons, one of the things we want to do is to put Bibles into places where people go, where people visit, where people are. And the fact of the matter is, we haven't got to come to church to find God. We can find God in His Word. We haven't got to come to church. It's good to come to church and have fellowship, but initially, many, and we're going to see a DVD as we close in a few minutes, about finding God in prison through a Gideon Bible. And so Gideons believe that it is important to put God's Word into places where people are. Because people are stumbling, they are falling, they are getting hurt because they are in darkness, because they haven't seen the glorious light of God's love. And they need that today. So, a little bit about the Gideons for a few minutes. It began in 1899, just a little before I was born, but not long. And the Gideon story starts like this. And it's a boy promised his dying mother in the States, an American lad, that he would read his Bible every day for the rest of his life. And he kept his word. He became a traveling salesman. And as he traveled around, he read his Bible too. And he was sat in a hotel one night, and he noticed another fellow reading his Bible. And they got chatting. And with another friend, they decided that they felt that God was calling them to start an organization, which they called Gideon's. And we'll, if you want to know the origin of that a bit, talk to us afterwards. Although Chris will be busy with the partition, so it'll have to be me. But chat afterwards. And that's how it started in 1899. So that really in that stage to put Bibles in hotels and motels. And that's where it began. It came to the UK in 1949. 4 years after I was born, actually. I was born in... Math's not very good this morning. It came in 1949 to the UK. And today, worldwide, there are 250,000 Gideons. So I and Chris are just two of that 250,000. And actually working in 197 countries around the world, distributing 8 million Bibles annually. And to date, since the very beginning, 1.5 billion scriptures have been put out in the public domain. We belong to the Taunton branch, which covers sort of from here, we're the most westerly Gideons, up as far as Highbridge, sort of north, go across, just trying to think, Bishop's Ledger and out over the Quantocks, Nether Stowey, Bridgewater, up to Highbridge, Burnham, back across to Shapwick on the Levels, and sort of down through to Taunton. That's the area that we cover. There's about 20 of us plus from various churches. We've got quite a number of Anglicans within the group, but we are, like I say, multi-faith. No, we're not multi-faith, we're Christian. But we are from different denominations. We meet once a month for prayer and to sort of discuss things like who is going to take a service where and schools things and all sorts. So we have a business meeting and prayer meeting, and we do different tasks within that. And I and Chris have been involved with putting Bibles into hotels and motels of late. So that's where we are. So what do we do? Well, you say, well, it's obvious you put Bibles, you give away Bibles. Does anybody recognise that? The red one. Somebody's nodding. Yes. That's the schools. The if you are of an more senior age, I was going to say, and you had them in school, they were they had a darker cover on them. This is a plastic cover. They are pretty tough. You can manhandle them. You can mishandle them. They're pretty good. And one thing can I ask you to pray for, if nothing else, after today, please pray for the work in the schools. They go into year 7, first year of senior school in the area. 19 schools, 2,302, I did write it down. No, yes, 2,032 scriptures given away this year, this past school year in the area. We are allowed into every school. Praise God for that. Because there are a lot of places where they struggle to get into schools. Every senior school will allow us in. Sometimes we've not very long, sometimes 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour is all we have for an assembly. But we actually personally give them out. We don't take a box to the school and say, there you are, give them to year 7. That is not the way it works. Odd times that might happen. Very, very seldom. We actually give them out to students there. Most important, because you know, there may be, that's the only scripture in the New Testament and Psalms that actually is in a home these days. So it's not just for the youngster as well, it could be for mum and dad as well, if they pick it up and look at it, because they do certainly stand out. They don't always, they pretty well always accept them, but there are some that really don't want them. And I guess there was someone that didn't want them from Wellington School a couple of years ago. I was here one night and going in the fellowship room out there, and I noticed something in the corner, and put in the corner of the doorway was one of these. I don't think it was this one. Sat there. And it'd been raining, but it was in the corner and it hadn't got wet at all. It was absolutely perfect. They obviously thought that, well, I can give it back to the church. So I picked it up there. But please pray for the school's work. And what we do in Wellington area, we let the ministers of the churches know when we're going, and hope the churches will pray when we're going, because it is such an important work. Because hospitals is another place, another one, hotels, as we've all already mentioned. Not all of them allow scriptures in now. Travel Lodge don't anymore. They do keep some in reception. If you go to places and if you go to hotel or motel and they aren't there, go to the desk and ask, because if they don't allow them in rooms, they often have them. I think it's good to do that. When we go anywhere to a hotel, and when we went to the States, when we found them in all the hotels we were there in America, we leave them out when we go. We take them out because they're often in the drawer with other things. We take them out and put them on the top, which makes it look like they've been used. And we do use them. But us, Travel Lodge don't allow it. I encountered an interesting one 6 weeks ago. We called in the Holiday Inn at Taunton, up on Junction 25. And we walked in and said, do you want any Bibles? Because what happens, you see, one thing the Gideons, I guess we're probably the only Christian organization around that really doesn't bother too much about theft. And you say, whoa, thou shalt not steal, says the commandment. But often they do get stolen from hotels and motels. We've had one of the motels rang up and said, we want 11 copies. They're gone, basically. So we went to Holiday Inn, and I walked in, and you need to see the housekeeper, basically, waiting and ask at the desk. And she said, yes, and the girl on the desk, I think we need some. Housekeeper came in and said, yes, we need 4. I went out to the car, and Chris stayed chatting to the housekeeper. And she said, well, this was a Friday. She said, well, on Wednesday, we had a check around all the rooms for everything, and we discovered that there were 4 missing, and you're here today. How did you know? So the hotels, motels, the hospitals, the nursing homes are elderly people's homes. Mostly there's large print, and there's a giant print one over there as well on the side. So we do that. We go into Scats Freshers Day in Taunton, gave it about 90 last year, have a stand in there. Often these youngsters have had them and they remember the red one and they know it is somewhere, but they can't remember where. And we give them what we call a slimline one, which is we give them one like that, but a green one. Prisons is another place that they go into. We have no prisons in the area that we cover, so that isn't applicable to us. And one place now that we have got into is 40 Commando at Norton Fitzwarren. 100 were taken to, Chaplain took 100 to Afghanistan on their last trip, because the troops were gone then. But since they've all come back and then went, we couldn't seem to be able to get hold of them and discovered that they had gone to Canada on exercises. And since they've come back, someone has gone in there and given them scriptures. And they get a camouflage one with their coat of arms on and their regimental prayer in back of it. This is just a sample one. This has nothing in it. They have that. They have that given them as well. So I think that Stephen Reed was here last Sunday, Reverend Stephen Reed, and he's been instrumental in helping to get them into the TA as well. He's been very instrumental in doing that, and he's been a big help to us. Sometimes we need a link in. And you may notice he read from a very small Bible last Sunday. Don't want anybody to notice that. I suppose because I'm a Gideon and I and Chris give out these personally, a personal worker's testament, these are called. He was using one of those. He's been given one as the chaplain, as one of the town chaplains in Taunton, or as heading up the town chaplaincy. And I and Chris give out these to people that we come into contact with. And let me say this now, Chris is far better at this job than I am. She is far better at talking to people and giving them out. She does a great job. And I think last month, within the whole group, there's about 35 given out to people. Someone delivers a washing machine and you give them one. And people will take them, generally quite keen to take them in actual fact. And we give them to them. I think that's most of the places. Chris is nodding. I sometimes forget. I forget bits and pieces. But we keep talking about Gideon. And this came up at a meeting a week ago. We talk about Gideon Bibles, and we've sort of come to the conclusion that we shouldn't really perhaps be saying that, because people might say, who don't know anything about it, what's the difference between what's a Gideon Bible? It is an NIV translation, just like there is in the seats in front of you here in the church. But the difference is, the only difference is, in the front, there are helps. Where to find help? When you're brokenhearted, when you're conscious of sin, when you're considering marriage, that's an important one. Matthew chapter, I must read that. No. When you're contemplating revenge, when you're lonely, when you're sleepless, there are all these things. And you can imagine them, somebody awake at night in a hotel. What are you doing? You know, got the fidgets, made a cup of tea, that hasn't worked. Still, they might pick it up and start thumbing through. There's bits about the Bible, its introduction, its composition. There's helps in the front, guidance in life. There are verses there to help. Because for someone who knows nothing about the Bible at all, just to pick it up and open it, you could get into Leviticus, couldn't you? That wouldn't be quite as... But there are helps there to guide you to what to read. So that is, again, this is the one that you've seen in hotels. This is one of the copies of that. So you say, well, yeah, but where does all the money come from? If we're giving out 2,000, locally giving out 2,000 to the schools alone, where does the money come from? God provides. We have a great God. We have a great and generous God, haven't we? And we can always cover all that we need. There is never a charge. People have come up after services when I've done them in other churches and said, can we buy one? No, we can't sell you one. You may be able to buy one in a charity shop. They sometimes do migrate to there and they do sell them. But no, there is no charge at all. So of course we need money. But where does it come from? From ourselves as Gideons, from individual gifts, from legacies, from churches. But God provides for us. each year. And if we have a surplus over in our branch area, then that goes to head office and then that is sent overseas. Because there are very few countries that are self-supporting in the work of good news because they just cannot afford it. I mean, we know, don't we, think of Bible Society, where there's so many places around the world where there are Bibles available, but people can't afford them because it's several weeks' wages. So that's how we get our money. So now's this, there's a sales plug. There always is, but no. How can you help? Pray. Please pray for Gideon's from time to time for the work that is done. Particularly, I ask you in this area to pray that the schools will stay receptive to us going in. Because year seven heads change and sometimes have different people to deal with who perhaps have a different perspective. Pray that as a guy called Terry at the moment who actually does the approaches to the schools, just pray that door will stay open, that we can go in and give these youngsters the words of life. That is most important. So prayer, yes, we always need. We do always need money. That's true. And also, if you are interested, you can become a friend of Gideon's. And what does that mean? It means that you get a magazine four times a year. And I know there's so much Christian literature out there. But this is absolutely free. There's a local newsletter that goes in with them. If you just want to sign up, just let us know, and we will make sure that you get one. The Gideon News, and there are all sorts of bits and pieces in the Gideon News. So that's good. And if there are any professional gentlemen who would like to join you, Gideons, we're always looking for. We've got quite a good strong branch here in the Taunton area, but we're always looking for more. So that's just a little bit about the work of Gideons. But I just want, as can I ask Norman if you could, we'll have a look at this DVD. Now it's just about just 5 minutes, and then we will. That's.
Well, we find here at Birmingham that the Gideon Bible is a lifesaver. Because very often, this will be the first contact that the inmates will have with God through reading the Gideon Bible.
My dad left home when I was 10 years of age. He was an alcoholic. My mum was involved in a number of different criminal activities. Life early on toughened me up. As a result of the lifestyle that I was involved in, the drugs, the drink, at a young age, I ended up doing crime, doing burglaries and things of that nature. I got caught on numerous occasions, and for the first time, at the age of 15, I was remanded to Swansea Young Offenders Institute. I remember the officer taking me to the cell. We walked up a steel stairs, and it's very cold inside prison. He opened this big, thick door with a small spy hole about that big on it, really small. He opened up this door with his keys and he just said, "In you go, son." And I just went in, just walked in with his bed pack and looked, thinking to myself, this is my new home. And behind me, the door just slammed into the frame and I thought, wow, this is it, this is my life. Here I am in a cell 8 foot by 6. And I remember sitting on the edge of the bed, put my head in my hands. And you sit there for quite a while trying to re-examine and look back over your past and think, what have I done? I think being in prison, You miss the things that seem unimportant when you don't have freedom. The joy of actually walking from your house to the shop to buy a can of Coke or a pack of cigarettes as it was then. You know, just those little freedoms that we take for granted.
When prisoners come to the prison, they are faced with the certain reality that they are at a loss. You know, they're facing long years, sometime in custody.
They come into the prison with all sorts of problems. They probably are drug addicts, as many are. They have never been to school. They can't read and write.
I work on a life of wing here. They're predominantly doing over 4 years to life. Last year, the Gideons came here and they issued Bibles out. I was actually on the Sunday service when they were issuing them out. And also you walk around the cells and you'll find that a lot of the cells have got the Gideon's Bibles in there.
One afternoon I came back to the cell and there was a Gideon's Bible in my cell, which hadn't been there before. And I remember sitting down in the cell and I saw it and just thought nothing of it. You know, oh, they've just placed their religious people. One afternoon I opened it up. I began to read, "In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God." And I've never read a Bible before in my life. I'd never been to a church. I'd never experienced that kind of thing. So to me, this was like, wow, what am I reading here? And I was gripped by what I read in that book. And I began to read. I read from chapter 1. I read right through the Gospel of John up to about chapter 20. And the more I read, I felt really good about these words, as if the words were going into me and feeding something in me. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't really know about being a Christian or, you know, being a disciple or a born-again person, all these phrases people use today. I didn't know none of that. All I knew was, as I read the Bible, it was changing me. And that Bible in my prison cell was the start of a journey that revolutionized my life.
I do see people picking up New Testaments and Bibles. You see them reading in the cell as you're doing roll checks and things. Not only that, in the morning when you go around the cells, when they're out to work or they're out doing other things, you'll also see their Bibles opened. And you'll see they're reading a chapter.
When prisoners are under punishment, which they sometimes are, the Bible, the Gideon Bible, is the only book they have access to.
Having actually picked up a New Testament, a passage that talk actually about them, who they are, and finding hope in the verses of Scripture, that draw them then to find out more about who is this God.
When I read the Bible, it began to speak to me personally about my life and about where I was spiritually. I wondered if this man called Jesus could raise my level of life too, like he's done for these people in the Bible. And so that began on a journey of discovery. I went to the chapel, I went to the Sunday services in the prison and began to talk to the chaplain there, and people would come in and testify and talk about their own journey. I was bailed to this hostel. I went into a meeting. The first night I went there was all these men there with their hands in the air, and they were singing, and I'm sort of stood there, out of respect, I just close my eyes and think about Jesus. And for that moment, I had a real spiritual encounter that changed my life. And in that meeting that night, I had a revelation. I saw Jesus on the cross, and he said, "Richard, I did this for you." At that moment, I fell to my knees, and I remember tears were just pouring from my face, and I just cried out, and I said, "Lord, I give you my life." And at that very instant, I knew, somehow I just knew through that spiritual experience, that all of my sins, all of the wrong that I ever did, God had forgiven me for. And that was the greatest feeling I'd ever experienced. No one had ever told me they loved me, let alone show me that they loved me. But Jesus Christ did that night, and it changed my life. After that experience of knowing Christ, I no longer took heroin, speed, cannabis. Drugs were gone. I had no cold turkey, and I read the Bible from cover to cover 3 times in 1 year.
I've seen life being transformed by inmates just reading the scriptures, and from reading, making inquiries about what they've read. And I've seen that the access scriptures bring changes in the lives of the inmates. Just by reading the scriptures, they have comfort. And from having comfort, they have assurance.
You do notice changes in people as they come to know the Christian faith. I had a lifer who changed. He moved on to another prison with a good, strong faith. He actually got baptised at this prison.
If it had not been for the fact that a Bible had been placed in my cell by the Gideons, then I don't know where I'd be today. The fact is that Bible in my cell placed there gave me hope. It gave me a sense of purpose and direction in my life. But more than that, it gave me the greatest message of all. It told me about a man called Jesus Christ.